So until now, Rabbi Yisrael, Hilchas Rechilas, all our limud of Hilchas Chofetz Chaim, Hilchas Lashon Hara by the Chofetz Chaim, is L'schus Refuah of Yosef Dov Ben Chayle, Shtav Refuah Shlema B'mehiro. The all our limud of Chofetz Chaim so far in Hilchas Rechilas have been in situations where a person of his own volition is saying things that could end up causing animosity, could end up causing enmity between two people. And therefore, it becomes Lashon Hara plus. We've even had cases where you could cause enmity without it being Lashon Hara, something bad. It could be something that you're proud of. But because the other person didn't know about it, and now you're speaking about him, so he gets upset. Rabbi Chaim says that there's no heter. He calls it another common misconception. I don't know whether there is such a common misconception. The question is, if you're being pressed by somebody to say something, what did he say about me? I heard that you were talking about me in a group around the chasna table. What did he say about me? Or you get sometimes a rebbe or a teacher, or me giving a shiur here, and I see Chazkel muttering to somebody, yeah, something about my shiur. I said, Chazkel, I said, what did you say about me? You know, he was saying it's so boring. He said every day, you know, but why didn't he change the subject already? Why can't we learn Hilchas Nishabav? Whatever it is, yeah? Yeah? And so then I press the person who he's speaking to. Yeah? And I say, Moishi, I said, what did Chazkel say to you? And you don't want to, you know, because if Chazkel said to me, Chazkel doesn't want to admit what he said because it's really nasty and I'm going to get upset with him. Now Moishi doesn't want to say what it is because it's really nasty. I'm going to get upset with Chazkel and with Moishi for repeating it. Yeah, so therefore, this is going to be Rechilus. So what should you be doing when you get pressed like that? Sometimes you can be asked by a Rav, what did you think of my shiur? Or what did somebody else think of my shiur? Yeah, what did he think of my shiur? There was another Rav present at the time. What did he think of my shiur? He was waiting to speak. I said over the halacha of Chofetz Chaim, yeah, Rabbi Aaron Troy was here last week. He's an expert in Chofetz Chaim. He does a daily phone line for an hour a day where people can phone up with Shailas in Hilchos Lashon Hara. So I gave the shiur. He was here. He was listening. He had his talis and tefillin on. And he was listening before the shiur. So, you know, what did he think of my shiur? So Chofetz Chaim says that all these situations are situations where you're not allowed to say. The question is, how do you get out of it? You've got to realize that anything that you answer, which could cause upset, which could cause enmity, that sort of thing you wouldn't be allowed to answer. Question is, but you got caught and you're being pressed, and sometimes you're being pressed by a parent, sometimes you're being pressed by a choshevayit, by a rov, or by a rosh yeshiva, saying, what did he say about me? Or what did he think about me? Or what did so-and-so say about this, that, and the other, etc. There are subjects like that when you feel the pressure because the person who is asking you is choshev, then maybe you have a chiyuv to answer. Says the Chofetz Chaim, absolutely not. He says the problem is that whatever you say is no good, and if you refuse to say, that's also no good. I don't want to tell you what he said about you, which is already like avak rechilos. Yeah, I'm not saying exactly what he said, but I'm saying. Now, the Chofetz Chaim, unfortunately, in the Sefer, he doesn't tell you what to do. All he says is, you need a strategy, he says. You need a strategy in order to cope with such a question, in order to answer it in such a way. He says, if you can anticipate this type of situation. What you have to do is, he says, prepare a quick, simple answer that will preempt further conversation about the subject. So I say to Moishi, what did Chazkel say just now about my drosha? And Moishi says it's going to rain afterwards, according to the forecast. Yeah, this afternoon it's going to rain, and we cancel our barbecue or something like that. You've got to find some way, says the Chofetz Chaim, of getting out of it, because the fact that you're being asked to disclose the information, even by somebody choshev, doesn't give you any heter.
Start your day the Torahway, Northwest London, Sunday, Koftes Tammuz, 4th of August. Rabbi Yeshua Shimshon Brunner Shlita, Reflections on Rabbi Eliyashiv Zatzal, 12 years on. This week's Torah is sponsored Lithuah Tsunkus Habar Mitzvah of Moishi Papa Nerioh and Motu Lerner Nerioh. Yesterday, he Rotson Shizko Rehem Vizikneheim Rav Nach, Seif Alot Sehem, Liskos Hashvim Ha'chayim Amil Tomo, Shachzun Hosem Mishalim Mim Heiro.
At the end of the matter, you made me the best thing.
That's it. Thank you.
because the organizers of Toyoi, Esache Yeshnampoi, Vashe Nenampoi, Uvarosham Reb Dudi. Yesterday was the Yahrzeit of Rabbi Yashiv, the 12th Yahrzeit, and Baruch Hashem, Bechemlas Hashem Alei, I was Zeicha to observe him, to watch him a little bit, and I want to talk a little bit about him. There seems to be a steal in Chazal. In Ovis, the Mishnah says, Ezu Chacham Haloimid Mikol Adam. A person who's a Chacham is considered Chacham if he learns from everyone. In Masech Tomid, it says, Haroyes, Ezu Chacham Haroyes Hanoilad. Someone who sees, literally means what's born. So it sounds like a little steal. What defines a Chacham? So I once heard that it's not a steal. Noilad means you look at what's being created. You don't look at the one who's delivering it. So that's really fits in with hand in hand with what it says in Ovis. Haloim kol adam, even if the person saying it is not right to say it, but if the words that he's saying person can learn from, then one should learn from them. So of course I'm not right to talk about Rabbi Yashiv, but like we said, anyone who has what to say and to learn from, and will be yeshuvia to us and a chizuk for us. In the Ovis of Nosim it says, Chayv adam loima masay agiu maisai lemaisai avoisai. A person is mechuyev to say, when will my actions reach the actions of my fathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov? So why does it say chayv adam loima? It should say a person has to try and reach the ma'aseh avoseh. What does it mean a person has to say, when will my actions reach? So the Manchester Shiva gave a marshal about a person getting a lift from London to Manchester. And before they leave, he asks the driver, when are we going to arrive? So the driver says, I don't know, we didn't leave yet. After we left, then you can ask when we're going to arrive. So Mansur Shiva said, Chayv Adam Loima, a person has to be in a situation that he can ask, when will I reach there? That means we have to be on the way, try and do something to be on the way to reach there. The Kotzker said, Yagia means touching. Even just to touch the ways of Avoisei and of those who we're learning from is also something. So of course we're going to say things, of course, big things about Rabbi Yashiv. And of course, we're not holding anywhere by there. But for us, even if we spend a few minutes less in the coffee room in the middle of when we go out for coffee in the middle of a seder and we come back, for us, that will also be a big tellus. There are a lot of sfarim written about Rabbi Yashiv, probably close to 100 sfarim of all biographies and all stories about him. On one hand, it's a very, very good thing. There's what to learn from. But there's the downside with it is that people look at Rabbi Yashiv, they see his madrigas, what he reached. They think he was like a malach. So if he was like a malach, it's not negeir to me. There's nothing for me to learn from. And people don't even think of beginning to start. So the first thing I just want to show that he wasn't a malach. He was a regular person. His children said, whoever said he didn't have any feelings, never knew him. He had tremendous segeshim. Only he was miskabe over everything for limud ha-Torah. We'll just give a few examples. He liked the color green. He had a menorah, and they would paint the grasses green for him. And once his menorah got stolen, they light outside, his menorah got stolen. So they tried to make him a menorah very, very similar. It was a very chashuv menorah. It was from the Leshem, from his grandfather, the big mekubel, the Leshem. And he used to use that every night. And when they got stolen, so the next night they tried to make him one very, very similar. But he realized right away, and he said, where's my menorah? They said it got stolen. He said, no, we have to call the police, the mishtara, we have to call the police. It bothered him. It wasn't like type, okay, I'll use any menorah. He was a regular person. He had a geshem in Tavshin Samach Gimel when he was 93 years old. He had a very big surgery. Everyone remembers all the tefillahs all over the world. Yosef Shalom ben Chaim Usha, the big tefillahs that everyone davened for him. And nisim, he got better. So in Chof Aleph Elul, that was the day of the surgery. And every year after that, in the shul, after his shir, they made a big suda seidah. They said there was music. They said he told them which kapitel to tell him. They all said Ma'ashiv and Mizmor L'Seida and Nishmas. They gave out Mezainas, and he enjoyed it a lot. Once it happened Matzah Shabbos, the Chof Aleph Elul was Matzah Shabbos, and there was no shir because he didn't give a shir Matzah Shabbos. But he came down specially to the Beis Medrash. It was meant a lot to him. So all the stories that we hear about him, Rachman Lassan, he lost 6 children, Bechayov. 5 we know he know about, Rebetzin Knievsky we don't know. Anybody asks if he knows that Rebetzin Knievsky was nifter, they'll all say the same, that we never told him. But 5 children he knew, he sat shiva for five children, 2 were nifter when he was a younger man, one was killed in a bomb, one was killed, there was a magefus, and he had a lot of very difficult life. And every time they told him he had troubles, and if he just took out, closed the Gemara, and took out the Shulchan Aruch Savelis and started learning, it wasn't Pshat that nothing bothered him, but he was like David HaMelech says in Tillim, Lulis Sarascha Shashua Yozavati Bani, without the Torah, a person is lost, but a person has Torah, the Torah helps him be Meskaba all over all different Nisyonis. In Tovshin Samach Zayin, he was 97 years old, his daughter, Rebbe Tzinovach, went through a difficult procedure in Hadassah Hospital. He was learning, and every so often he would come out, and we'd ask his family to call through to the hospital to find out how the procedure is going. People, when Rabbi Yehuda Adas told him that Halavai he would be like him in Hasmada, so Rabbi Yasha told him, we don't realize it wasn't easy for me. Yeah, I had a chavrusa and I wanted to talk a little bit, and I kept pushing it off. Sometimes I wanted to go out in the middle, I kept pushing it off. He had this yainus, he had terrible back pains in his older years. And when he woke up, the morning he woke up very early, he woke up 2:30 in the morning, 2 or 2:30, and he learnt straight till davening, for close to 4 hours before davening. As soon as he woke up, he right away threw the blanket to the other end of the bed, even though it was a very sad movement for him, and it wasn't so healthy for his back, but he said, if I wouldn't have done that, who knows where I would have been today. We all know the geschmack of waking up and going back to sleep again, and he knew that he had that nisayon, and right away he just kicked his blanket to the other end of the bed. He was in Gadlus from Torah. Reb Chaim Knievsky said, I never told him anything in learning that he never knew already. Reb Bengis was the Rav of Shalaim. He was Mor de Kula Tamudi, knew Kola Tere Kula. He was also a tremendous Amkan. And the Gedolim were scared to talk to him. He knew so much. And Reb Yashiv, at 20 years old, he would talk to Reb Yashiv as if he was a friend. He wrote a smicha on Reb Yashiv. He wrote, Harav, Agon, Haniskov, Sinai, Ve'oikahorim. These are talking about, this is in 1928. People didn't just write Shvachim on everyone like they do today. Sinai v'oikahorim, kan kan chodesh malayoshin, baki b'kula talmuda. Gam divra abisenu v'shoinim v'achoinim, nehiven le, all the v'shoinim v'achoinim are light to him. He's clear in everything. Makshu m'farik, he asks and he answers, b'dera chorif, uv'svo yishara, or masik shmait aliba dedina, k'moysa yirba b'sol. They should increase many like him in Klal Yisrael. Yoyra v'yodin b'kula hilchasa. He can pass in b'chola t'yukula, v'yichoylin lismechol avitcha. You can for sure rely on him, ki alocha k'moysa. He wrote this in Rabbi Yashiv in 1928. Rabbi Yashiv, he wrote this in Rabbi Yashiv was 28 years old. He wrote this on him when he was 28 years old. So it's in 1938. The Chabinov said about him in Tovshin Chafei, Rabbi Shvinov is ready to shvach to answer shailas. People that came with him shailas. He said, "Speak to Rabbi Yosef Shalom, and whatever he says is toyam and hashemayim." This was Rabbi Yashiv was then 55 years old. So we're just going to bring a few examples how his how Kola Tayukula was, like we said, was in front of him, and then we'll see how we got to him. We'll see we can all have some shaykhist it. Anyone who spoke with him in a sugya, it was as if he just learned that sugya now. Mechabe Swam, Mechabe Sefo works on the Sefo months, sometimes years, and at the end he has some loose strings that he's stuck on a few things. He would make a note of them, he would come into Rabbi Yashiv, and in seconds, Rabbi Yashiv would clarify everything, show him his mistake, show him in Rishonim which Rishon he misunderstood. Years ago, there was in America, could be here, also people heard about it, there's a shayla about a sofer, if he can use a stencil to write, like set up a stencil that would attach it to the kraf, and instead of a sofer having to write each letter, they would pour the ink through the stencil. The Olam heard about the shayla here, and the sofer can write like that, take much quicker, can write 50 sefer Torah in the time that he writes one. So all the Gedolim came with different tainus. It's not the minig, we don't start new things. The only one that came with the mefurish the Gemara was Rabbi Yashiv, and he said, it's Yushalmi v'kosa v'loy v'shafach. The Yushalmi dash is from Baget, in which we learn out suffers from v'kosa v'aget. It says v'kosa you have to write. And the Yushalmi dash is v'kosa v'loy v'shafach. You can't spill, you can't pour it. Pouring is not a form of ksiva. There was a shaila in London years ago. There was an Indian hall, Kadra Patida. People used to make chasnas there. Yeah. And then there was this one of the Abbanim who held it was a big shaila of Avodah Zarah. I was there at the time when I was by Rabbi Yashiv at the time that this Rav sent a big page, a big booklet of pages of a tshuva that he wrote, the L'choy Shabiyasa. He sent it to Rav Dov Morgenstern to bring, Rav Dov Morgenstern was Rabbi Yashiv's close Talmud. He brought it to Rabbi Yashiv. And he went through all the tainus, basically what the Rav wrote in all these pages. He summed up in short what the Rav's tainus are, why it's asa. And he told it to Rashi. Rashi said, Azma, so what? And it was muta. This Avodah Zarah, it's not typical shailas. These are not typical boss of a chol of shailas that a Rav gets every day. And everything was munach lefonov. Is that a watch, really? A watch? No. He was matter. He was matter. He held. He held. It wasn't a shaila. Yeah, it could be. The people machber. Rabbi Yashiv held. Rabbi Yashiv held the shaila. It wasn't a shaila. He held. It was mutter. There was a story. Someone came to Rabbi Yashiv and said, he's been keeping yahrzeit for his father for many years, and now he realized that he's a few days off. Should he change? He always kept a certain date, and now he found out that his father wasn't really nifta. He was really nifta 3 days later. So Rabbi Yashiv didn't just believe anyone what they say. He said, how do you know? Who told you the yahrzeit's off? He said his father was killed in the war, and he went back and he saw they have records of every person when they were nifta, and he worked out the dates, the English dates, and he worked out that it's 3 days off. So Rabbi Yashiv said, it's a mefusha mishnah in Gittin. All stories, oilo is ba koyo shenakum. Chutz megite noshim shechura avodim. All stories, you have a star, you could produce it in a goyish court, and we rely on the star. Even a star, we rely on it. We trust goyim. The Gemara says it's tapti medayik. If a goy is medayik in a date, we trust the goy for the date. A star includes a date. A star has lots of things on the star. One of the most important parts of a star is the date, when the star was dated, and we rely on a star. Even written by goyim, we rely on it for everything. This is not gittin noshim, it's not shechur avodim. So for you rely on it, we rely on the dates. So he held that in Auschwitz they were medayik the dates, and he held that the man should change the outside because it's mefurish mishnah. This mishnah children learn from a young age. This mishnah. Who would have ever thought of putting together the mishnah and gittin to tell the man that he should change the yotzeit that he's keeping for his father. This is a very short time before Rabbi Yashiv was hospitalized for his last time, a few months before his nifta. There was a ma'aser shoya. There was a person who was mechal yomtiv, but he kept Shabbos. Shabbos he kept, and yomtiv he didn't. Now we know mechal Shabbos. The person mechal Shabbos b'meizer b'farasya. He has a din of a mumah. He's like a goy. He's yain nesach. The shaila was, what's about a person who is mechal yomtiv? The Ma'aser Rashi says in Parshas Amoy Kol Mavazeh Samoyedus Kilu Mavazeh Shabbosis. Is it the same thing? Do we say that someone who's Mechal Yomtiv is like a Mechal Shabbos or not? He says he went through a lot of Abonim. Nobody had an answer. He came to Rashi says in Furshim Rashi in Chulin. Rashi says in Chulin Dafei that the reason why a person who is Mechal Shabbos is Dino Kamuma is because he's Koifer by Masiberatius. Masiberatius said Rashi is only Shabbos. Shabbos is a zecher l'masibreishes. Yom Tov is not a zecher l'masibreishes, and therefore the person does not have a din of a mumah. Only someone who's mechal Shabbos has a din of a mumah. There was once a shaila about a psulik kol. A lady was mezana. There was two shailas. There was shaila of the lady, shaila of the daughter. To kahuna, there was a lot of shailas. So a rav worked through the inyan. The whole week he worked through the inyan to talk to Rabbi Yashiv. He didn't want to make a fool of himself. He made sure he knew the inyan very, very clear. And he came to Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv said, he gave the told Rabbi Yashiv the shaila. Rabbi Yashiv said, it's mutter. So the Rav asked him, what's with the Pnei Yeshua? Rabbi Yashiv said, you mean the Pnei Yeshua in Kedusha Nayin Ches? He said, yeah. So Rabbi Yashiv said, no, the Pnei Yeshua was talking about a different case. That's not a Geyer Tau case. And he asked him, what's with the Chazanish? Rabbi Yashiv said, it's already in this Kabbal and clearly sold the Psak is like a Shlomo Kruger, who is mutter. So the Rav said, so the daughter is mutter? Rabbi Yashiv said, yeah. And the mother? The man said, no, the mother's also for a Kohen. The whole thing took a few seconds. He was talking in code to this man. The man had worked through the Indian for a whole week. And he came into Rabbi Yashiv, and these are complicated, complex shailas. And in a few seconds, Rabbi Yashiv had everything masuda. So how did he reach this? How did he reach such a level in Torah? So the first thing is, he broke down everything. When he learned it, he broke down everything into the smallest parts. When he started Yetzias HaShabbos, he started Masech HaShabbos. The first parak starts carrying on Shabbos, Yetzias HaShabbos. He didn't just start Yetzias HaShabbos. He said, the Eibishter said in the Torah, at Shabbos, you're not allowed to do malachas. One of the malachas is Haitzah, and now we're going to learn Haitzah. And he spoke out everything to himself. He asked everything the Gemara asked. He asked the Kash and he answered it. And he said to himself, what's the Havam in the Gemara? What changed in the Maskana? What does Rashi say? What do we need from why? Do we need Rashi? What's Rashi? Mechadash that we didn't know. And then he went to Tosis. He would say Tosis Kash inside. Then we'd say outside. What's the Tosis ask? And then he went to the Teretz and he said it first inside. Then he said himself outside. What is Tosis answer? And then he chased himself. The Kash was like this and the answer was like this. If they had the Tosis, the three Kashes, he would say, okay, the three Kashes were this. And these list all the three Kashes, this is how they answered. And what the Nafka Minute between the first Teretz and the second Teretz and the second Teretz and the third Teretz. Then he went to the Rambam on the Sugya until he understood every word. He summed up for himself the Rambam. How is the Rambam different to Rashi and Tosis? What's going to be in the Nafka Minute? doing the Rishonim, and all the Rishonim he learned, he did like this. He spoke out everything outside. What does the Rashba say? What does the Ramban say? He spoke out all the Mashals, including the Rashbos, including the Mashals and Chiddush HaGadus. And then he came to Tur Beis, he summed up everything with all the Nafka Minna, and he went to Shulchan Aruch, and every word of Shulchan Aruch, he is Medayik, like which Shulchan Aruch is writing this Lashon, which of the Rishonim is the Shulchan Aruch going with. He had a lot of secret chavusas. He used to learn by himself in a Beis Medrash or Yal Sara. He would lock himself and learn it up there and learn himself. But the people then, the Ezra's Nashim, and they were people, they were known as Rashi's secret chavusas. So Rashi learned everything out loud as if he was learning with the chavusa. So Ramey Rosner, he used to live in London. Now he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He's Oisek Lod in Erevin. He says he was there when Rabbi Yashu learned. He said he counted 15 times where Rabbi Yashu went to the Shakra Vatari of the Gemara. Each time speaking out, someone would come to me and ask me this, I would answer him like this, the whole Shakra Vatari of the Gemara. And that's how he became clear in everything. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman said about Rabbi Yashu that every Shaila that came up, it wasn't now Rabbi Yashu had to think of it. It all came to him when he learned the Sugya. He learned the Sugya with such a clarity, said every Shaila that could possibly come up related to the Sugya was already Masuda. When Abai Levin, his friend was Abai Levin, the famous tzaddik from Yerushalayim, so Abai Levin took him before Edom, he wanted to talk to him in learning before. So he asked Rabbi Yashav's father, when can he meet his son to talk to him in learning? He said, you can go anytime, you can go to Oil Sora, he learns in Oil Sora, and you could talk to him in learning. And he came and he heard him, it sounds like he's learning Chavus a few times. He came back to the Rabbi Yashav's father, he said, you told me I couldn't talk to him, I want to talk to him when he's himself, not when he's learning with someone else. He said, no, he's learning himself. The way he's talking, it sounds like he's learning chavusa, but he's really learning himself. So if a person learns like that, it's not a pella that he right away was able to shtel to Yishalmi, that you can't pour through a stencil, and how clear was Avodah Zorah was all Masuda with him, and the case of that a person should change his Yahrzeit based on the records in Auschwitz and the Michal Yontov Amazed is not like a mum or not, and how he spoke with the Rav about the Psule Kol with the lady. And Rabbi Ashi used to say to people, the reason why we don't remember our learning is not because we don't have a good zikaron, because we never left the sugya with the clarity. We don't leave the sugya clear, coming out with all the shittas, what does Abai hold, what does Rava hold, what does Rashi, what does Tosafot, what changed the Havam and Tmaskana. And of course, this was a matnas elokim that Rabbi Ashi had. We're not going to be like that, we're not expected to be like that, but we can all come a long way, we can all improve a lot. Even just at the end of a sugya, just say out to ourselves, outside, what did we learn now? What did the Gemara ask? What did the Gemara answer? What are the nafkaminas that come out from the Gemara? Everyone will have a much bigger clarity and will see a tremendous improvement in their learning. And the Indian of Chazor, Rabbi Yashu would say, Chazor, people think is you go over it. Chazor, Rabbi Yashu said, is you learn the same thing again the second time. That means that every time Rabbi Yashu learned, he learned as if it was his first time learning. When he was 80 years old, they heard him learning Basa B'Cholof. He started with the Psukim and Parshas Mishpatim. He learned the Psukim with such a kishmak. He went to Rashi, the Ramban, as if he would have thought, listening to him, as if it's his first time learning Basa B'Cholof. So too with Rivas, he started always from the Psukim, went to Psukim and Parshas Behar. He learned it, what is Rivas, and Psukim and Kiseitse, as if it's his first time. And he was never in a rush to finish anything. Everything was learned by Messinas, slowly, Be'ir, and he was never in a rush. When he learned Mishnayos and his father's yahrzeit, he had a minik. If you look at the back of the Yochanan Abayis Mishnayos, so you'll see there's prokim. It goes through all the aleph beis. Which prokim in Shas start with us with this ice? So Rabbi Yashav used to learn. He helped people to do that. To learn Mishnayos, just the name, not the ben, just the first name of the father, to learn Mishnayos with the prokim, the oasis of the perik of the name. So his mother's yahrzeit. His mother was Chaya Musha, so he learned Prokim with those names, and it was Shabbos once, and he came back from the Shein, he didn't yet finish the Mishnayos, and the children told him they'll help him, they'll do the name Chaya for him, they'll help him, they took Chavis, Perek and Shabbos for Chavis, and Yud was Yom Tiv and Be'er, the Hey, I don't remember what the Hey was, and after an hour, they said, we finished. He said, so quick? First of all, it wasn't quick, it was an hour. And second, it was easy Mishnayos. So Rabbi Yashav said, I never came across anything easy in Torah. Everything was the full eon, the full concentration, and and he was never in a rush to finish. I want to talk a little bit about his Abbas HaTorah. Rabbi Tenoybach said she was a lot in the house. The lady is, make sure that no one comes in and disturbs him. She disturbs her father learning. She said, even if someone convinced her that it's Pikuach Nefesh, they have to get in. She said she just felt she couldn't do it. She gave a marshal to a baby who was enjoying his bottle, and you go in the middle and you snatch it out of his mouth. That's what she felt was disturbing her father from learning. The Avos HaTorah that he learned. When he came into the sugya on Shemayata, the Gemara on Shabbos says that you're not allowed to read by a fire on Shabbos because you might be so involved in you're going to tilt the you might tilt the fire and be over Melechus Mavir. So someone asked in the shir, what? Someone said by the Shabbos clothes, by the Shabbos day, you think he's gonna tilt the ladies with the Shabbos clothes, he's wearing his shtramel. So Rabbi Yashua said, well, what don't you understand? A person's learning Tosfos. He sees the kasha of Tosfos, and right before he gets to the teretz, the light goes out. He has a power cut. He's a meshugana. He's not gonna tilt the light. He's not gonna know what the answer of Tosfos is. Of course, it's easy that he can forget it's Shabbos. That was his avos hatorah. Someone who does not, he's happy to leave the Tosfos by a question without the answer. He's a meshugana. Made a big impression on the shir. That was Rabbi Yashua's hagdama of a meshugana, a person who learns the kasha of Tosfos, and it doesn't bother him to leave without knowing the answer. Every moment of his was used to the utmost. Someone arranged to take him to Sandakos. A little bit, Sofiyam especially, was busy a lot. He would be Sandak for people. So he arranged to meet him 9 o'clock in the morning to pick him up for Bris. He came to Belyashev's house 5 to 9, and he saw Belyashev was tiefen in learning. He thought maybe Belyashev forgot. After 3 minutes, he felt a bit relaxed. He saw Belyashev got up and put the sefer that he was learning, put it back on the Sfarim shelf. But then he took out another sefer. And he said, and he looked at it as if it's a full year, and as if he has hours. After 20 seconds before 9 o'clock, Rabbi Yashiv put the sefer back, and he went with him. Those were the moments which a lot of time gets wasted. It's negated to all of us. Sometimes you come to davening a few minutes early, we're thinking what sefer to take out. By time then, it's ready time for davening. You come early, you take out any sefer, and there was a few minutes that everybody can chaperine and have a chashivas for all these precious moments of learning. His siddurim, everything was mesudah by him. And it was once in the summer, Motzei Shabbos, Havdalah finished at 8:15, and he had a bar mitzvah at 8:30. Right after that, he put on his coat, and he was going out to learn. They asked him, where are you going? He's going to Oil Sora to learn. But they said, you know that at 8:30 takes you 5 minutes to get there, 5 minutes back. He said, yeah, but I'll be there for 5 minutes. That means he held the more you should minimize the hefsek as much as possible. Okay, a person has a simcha, he has to go. But to give the seder as much of a tzura as possible, yes, could I to go to a seder, even though he's only going to be there for 5 minutes. he never missed the night's sleep. He once saw his ankle very tired. He said, why are you tired? He said, I did mishmo last night. So Bilyasha said, what do you gain? By night you're tired, and by day you're tired. So what do you gain? He said, I never missed the night's sleep. His nights were short, but he never missed the night's sleep. Even though he was a tremendous masmid, but he had a big kuvah. He was very, very close with his children. The Rebbetzin Knievsky, his daughter came once from Bnei Brak to talk to him about something, but he'd already started the shir. They set him up a shir. They set him up a place, and there's a Noshim should be able to watch him the whole shir. And after the shir, so she greeted him, and he asked her if she enjoyed the shir. So they were learning over Reitzav in Chulin. She asked if she understood it. She said she understood it like she understood the Leshem when they went through the Ksavim of the Leshem. That means when the Ksavim of the Leshem reached Eretz Yisrael, so Rabbi Yashiv Zayden, they reprinted the Ksavim of the Leshem. So it was very hard to read the writing. The Rebbetzin Knievsky, she wrote over herself the Ksav of the Leshem, and then they gave it into the printer, and then they would go through it with Rabbi Yashiv and his daughter, and she would read it, and Rabbi Yashiv would check that it's right. So she said she understood it like she understood the Leshem, only then it was Elyonim and Tachtoinim, and here it was Tumah and Tahara. It was a tremendous kuvah that he had with his children, and did the hasmod, it didn't affect the closeness he had with his family. Just a little bit, as Himun and Bitachon, when the doctor came in when he was 93 years old to do surgery, he knew it was a very big risk, and so Rabbi Yashiv told him before that he shouldn't worry if it doesn't work out and he doesn't survive. No one's going to have tainus on him. We believe that everything's from Hashem. And that was his tremendous emunah. In Emunah B'Divrei Chazal, people came to him from a certain town. There are a lot of tzaros in the town. They asked him to be makabel. They suggested different things. He said, it seems people don't have any averus. They think it's this, the ayin hara, this. They don't know the Gemara says, haroi yisurim ba'am olav. If a person sees he's going through difficult times, he should do tshuva. If he doesn't find anything to do tshuva, he should be mischazik k'talmud Torah. Everyone has what to fix up k'talmud Torah. He said 5 minutes more b'avakama, that will be a big schus. And he himself, after the big surgery, he was lengthening his shear by 5 minutes. The Torah is the biggest improvement a person can be mischazikin. His dikta b'halacha was tremendous, even when he was 99 years old, and he was extremely shvach, and he would sit down for the second part of Aleinu, but the whole chazos ha-shatz he stood. Even with Shani and Kippur, the whole chazos ha-shatz he stood, except for the piyutim. Piyutim he held, you don't have to stand. Even it was very hard to get up from eating, he put a hat in his jacket for benching. It was never nikah. The mitzvahs were never looked at as a bittul Torah for him. He would go on the sukkahs, he would go on Chol HaMoed. In early years, he would walk when Yom Tov, but ladies only Chol HaMoed, he would go. He'd go to the Kaisel to shake out Bamina by the Kaisel, because there's some shittas of Shainimol that you get a special mitzvah today, even though it took a long time. He never looked at a mitzvah as bittul Torah. The grandson once asked him that he's moving apartments, so he has to go. He has to put, there's no room on the doorpost for mezuzah. He has to make a hole in the wall, put it there. He asked, can he go when they move? When he's there to move, can he do it then? He has to know it's too late. You have to put up a mezuzah right away. When he was, especially in Eretz Yisrael, it's a different story, but you have to put it up right away. So he says, I should waste a whole day koil to go down and put a hole. He says, and that's wasting? Putting up a mezuzah, that's not called wasting. That's mitzvahs. Davening, he was a special zahiris in davening. He said, during the Shiva, someone came to Menach Vol, Rabbi Yashiv's family, and a big Rosh Hashiva, and he said he got such a chizuk. He heard Rabbi Yashiv davening, he stood next to him, and his lady is, you could hear, and he would say, by Psach Libi B'Soysecho, he was Bet Sechoyis, by Psach Libi B'Soysecho, you would have thought that he doesn't know how to learn a Tosfos, the way he's saying those words. This is after learning 3.5 hours B'Tzivos before davening. He used to say, Al-Tashcheni Le-Zikna, because Le-Zikna, a person has a hard time davening, but when it calls him on the person's davening, he puts all his koichas into davening, he'll see a tremendous Hatzlacha. His HaKos HaTov was La-Hafri. After the surgery, he taught his family how to say thank you in English to the doctor. He wanted to thank the doctor. They said, we can thank you for. He said, no, thank you, you say personally. There was a mice with the Reuvi Lapiansky, he was the mayor there in Yerushalayim, and he made Bar Mitzvah, and he brought in his son with a Bar Mitzvah Teish to Bar. And the day of the Bar Mitzvah, Rabbi Yashiv said he's going to the Bar Mitzvah. They said, what, you're so shrach? And those Nat Kuvi didn't leave his house for 2 weeks. He didn't go to Shia. He didn't go to Shia. Rabbi Yashiv said, yeah, to the Shia and Davening he can't go, but to the Bar Mitzvah he goes. Why? He has a Kos HaTov. Because Uri Lapiansky was the head of the organization, Yad Sara, of all the medical equipment. And Rabbi Yashiv used a frame from organization Oil Sara. And he had a Kos HaTov with Uri Lapiansky. They said, but he owes you much more than you owe him. Rabbi Yashiv tried very hard that he should get his position in the government there. Rabbi Yashiv said, if HaKos HaTov will be a payment, then we could start crying who owes more, who did more for who. HaKos HaTov is a middah, and a middah has no gvul. That was his tremendous HaKos HaTov. His mice has been on the Chaveroi. I just heard now, Rabbi Geshen Hager told me that he took Shemesh by Rabbi Yashiv. He was there 4 or 5 weeks every night. Rabbi Yashiv would answer Shinus for 1 hour, and he was there alone with Rabbi Yashiv, just him and Rabbi Yashiv, for 4 or 5 weeks. Every night the Rebbetzin would come in and bring a glass of tea. They'd bring a glass of tea for Rabbi Yashiv and for Rabbi Geshen Hager. He was a younger man then. And one night the Rebbetzin wasn't there, and the daughter came in. She came in quickly, brought in the tea, and she went out. She only brought in one tea. Obviously, she never knew that her mother brought in for Rabbi Geshen Hager, and that was the only time he said Rabbi Yashiv never touched his tea. In 5 weeks, he never saw, and any other time, the Rabbi Yashiv never touched the tea since he felt they didn't give him, so he didn't take his either. On Purim, he used to have an open house where Shashiv and Rabbanim would come into him and ask him Shias, and then he stopped. And he told his Tamar, Don Mungson, why he stopped. Because it was hard for him to work out. He shouldn't talk to one Yashiva more than another. It was hard for him to keep cheshbon. He didn't want anyone to be offended that he learned. He spoke more with him than someone else. He once had to write a letter to a yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva, 5 Rosh Yeshiva of a Moisid. And he didn't know who to write first. Whoever he writes first, that they're going to be nifka. Each one's going to think that he's less important. So he thought of Eitzah. He wrote the first name in small, the second name bigger and bigger and bigger, and the fifth one he wrote in the biggest. So that way, then no one should be offended. Even is Nenu made Eitzah with Tashia, how many people were Nenu from him? There was once a Balas Tshuva. She was together with other ladies in Rebbetzin Kanievsky's house. And Rebbetzin Kanievsky told this lady to say over your story, how you became firm. Say over your story. She said that she was trying to become firm, and she was a smoker. And every Shabbos, trying to keep Shabbos, she wasn't able to keep Shabbos, always towards the end of Shabbos. She had such a time to smoke, she wasn't able to be miskaba. And it bothered her a lot. So she went to Rebbetzin Kanievsky. Rebbetzin Kanievsky went into Reb Chaim for her. Reb Chaim said, you have to send someone to the Shvet, send someone to Rabbi Yashiv. They sent someone to Rabbi Yashiv with the Shrine, Rabbi Yashiv said, check her Yichus. They checked the Yichus and they realized she wasn't Jewish. She was a Goita. And Rabbi Yashiv said that sin, the Halach is a Goita, Shavas Chayiv Misa. Because the Eibush had such avata, he didn't want her to be the Chayiv Misa. And therefore he put her into a situation that she shouldn't be able to be, she shouldn't be able to be, to be open the sign of smoking. Just, there's a lot of things more, but the time got late. Just want to end off that we're holding a Beinam Tzoyim, cautious looking shal tzadikim, kesevus beselekenu. Rabbi Yashiv was mesabel on Yishlaim. When people would ask him a shayla on sukkahs after sukkahs, he would answer. He knew people writing Sfarim, he would always answer. When it came to Tishvav, he said, Amit Hashem, it shouldn't be Nageya. Tishvav, he got up very early. He started Kinnis way earlier than the Tzibur, and he finished after the Tzibur. He said it slowly, and Rabbi Yashiv had what to do this time. We said when he sat Shiva with his children, he was oisig the whole day in Chavelis. He had what to do. He had what to learn on Tishvav. He put time into his Misabal and Yishalayim, and those were the koiches that he put in. Just went out. The Yaros Tavash says, as long as we're mistabik in the milas of a tzaddik, then the tzaddik is megan on the door as if he's still alive. We should be zeicha. Tobias Mashiach Zakein and Binnebe Samidash Tchis Amesim Behev Yameinu Amen. Thank you very much.